I learned to respect somebody else's platform because one time I didn't, and my pastor reamed me for it. He says, "How dare you get up and speak like that on that somebody else's platform?" And I was like, "Oh, dang." Because my gift was...
What'd you do? Do you mind if I ask? Like,
I just sat there and took it.
Hey, everybody. This is Mingo with the PD Podcast. Every now and then, we have this conversation that just naturally happens while we're eating lunch or we're traveling to another location. And this episode is one of those conversations we just jumped in the middle of. Pastor Jeff Moore giving us some really great insight on creating culture, paying your dues, and this idea of Instagramification. Enjoy the conversation.
And so you're going to start seeing kind of a major gap, I think, within church leadership where no one wants to be a youth pastor anymore.
Because you want to fast track it straight to the XP.
Straight to the XP.
Or straight to the senior pastor.
Exactly. Because what you, and again, but what we've seen in that is we've seen these boomer pastors, you know, get in all this glory and all this honor. And a lot of these like younger dudes are like, I can do that.
Yeah. And I can do it with half the capital, half the like time, half the hassle.
Half the hassle. And I'm creative enough. And I've grown up in this space where I've got everything at my fingertips now. And I can just make this all happen. You can make a cool website now for nothing. You can do these cool things for like,
you can self-promote, self-produce.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can for self-curate. You could be writing your own ebooks.
Yep.
And the other guy's still trying to figure out, like, how do I download these pictures to my phone?
Exactly. And, like, I mean, it was funny. I was talking to this guy, Ruslan. He's a hip-hop artist.
I know Ruslan.
You know Ruslan, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just were having breakfast the other day. And we were talking about just kind of the how music is going and all the, you know, this different stuff. And I really think just in general, and I think kind of like even thinking like mega church wise, kind of try to follow my thought process here. But everything's going back to small. Everything's headed back to small. And this is how
are you
I
ready
know.
To are you ready to stand on that statement, dude?
I'm following the trends.
Yeah.
Everything here is going more boutique store.
Yes, boot craft.
Yes, craft.
Craft matters.
So Nordstrom isn't as cool to go to as, you know, Seaweed and Gravel, which is a store in Encinitas.
Lone Flag.
Lone Flag, exactly.
Yeah.
You're wanting these kind of more smaller, something that you can belong to, that you can identify with. We want to have cause and brand loyalty.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, even if you look at within the mega churches, most of them that are mega churches is because they have smaller campuses.
Yeah, their brand is made up of
smaller parts.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll start to see that even more so within church where it's a little bit more boutique.
What do we do with the church that stumbled on top of that reality? So they started with a huge central, then they went like, "Hey, we'll do a 1,000 person venue there and we'll do a 1,500 occupancy person like a venue there, and this little college experiment thing, 500 person venue there." Mm-hmm. What do they do with the big footprint that got them started?
Yeah.
What do we do? Do we sell it? Do we foreclose on it? I mean, do we give it to the best performing sub-campus?
Performing arts thing, we turn it into a local mall. I don't know, man. Like,
could you imagine turning like the Rock into a mall I mean, dude, the question is, it's built state-of-the-art.
They're built state-of-the-art, and they're built for large crowds. And I think that we'll probably see that for the next, I'm guessing this is probably 10, 15 years out.
You think it's a 10-year, 15-year rollout?
I think so a little bit, because it's going to take us, the church again is always 2-3 years behind everything. It's going to take us a while to start to catch up with the rest of society and the rest of what's going on. But everything is changing so fast. We have this guy, Charlie Powers, again, kind of going back to that conversation with Ruslan. But this kid, Charlie Powers, who creates rad music on his computer. 10 years ago, he would have needed to have been in a studio. Mm-hmm. He would have had to have access to all these different things. And because now we have access to technology, he can create rad stuff. Now, transfer that into the church world, because we have access to technology. We have access to whatever we're hooked up right now, and you're going to upload, you know, whatever.
And I'm eating chicken at the same time.
And you're eating chicken at the same time. Like, it's just a whole different game. That's going to completely shift and change
the
culture.
So, Jeff, does that eliminate the need for dues then?
For dues?
Because dues are associated with the process.
With the process. So I don't think it eliminates dues, because I think dues shape character. And if we don't have people with character creating culture, we're going to have jacked up culture.
we kind of already do.
We already do. I mean, we already do, but I mean even more so in the church world.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, like, I think, I mean, I learned to respect somebody else's platform because at one time I didn't, and my pastor reamed me for it. He says, how dare you get up and speak like that on that somebody else's platform? And I was like, oh, dang. Because my gift was...
What'd you do? Do you mind if I ask, like...
I just sat there and took it.
You know, what did you do to get the lashing?
I got up on a stage and I spoke incredibly idealistic, but without experience and very authoritative without authority.
There you go. So like casting vision, or were you like, this is, let me tell you how good parents parent with no kids.
It was like, let me tell you how to be, you know, how to be a real powerful Christian, you know, and I'm 23, you know, but my communication chops, everyone's coming up afterwards going like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was a great message.
But you had a senior leader that cut right through that BS.
Cut right through it. Yeah. It was like, bro, no. Now, granted, he was a little bit too harsh in some aspects. You know, like there was a little bit of a...
You still cry at night?
There's still some unhealth. Yeah. still. But I think, though, that...
But that was good for you in the long term. You're looking backwards and you're saying that's good.
I've never got onto, like, guest speaking, but I've never gone onto somebody else's stage and being like, I'm going to show this congregation what they need to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to honor this dude that's just built this for the last however many years. And, or, you know, even, you know, getting on the stage in my own church. Like, I'm going to respond and respect this.
Do you think that there's like a lack of opportunity to pay dues? That I'm going to like keep going down that like rabbit hole, because I look at some of the youngest emerging leaders I've got and they want to be engaged, involved, but it's like sometimes we think that there's 10,000 of them lining up outside the door. So we're like, I can't pay you. You just have to be here.
Right.
The ministry of availability is going to earn you this position or potential.
Sure.
Because I would love to give, like, let's say Edwin, our photographer for today, I'd love to give him a job and have him pay dues in an accurately based salary for the time, and, you know, what he's investing. But I don't even have the power to do that 34 years old inside of this organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I think that there are, part of the opportunity to pay dues is to pay dues before you're paid.
No, let's go, dude. Talk to me.
You know,
yeah.
I think that too many people have paid interns. I think that, I didn't get a full-time salary until I grew a youth ministry to 150 people.
Wow. You want to just say that one more time for every youth worker that's trying to get a full-time job right now? Yeah.
I didn't get a full-time salary until I had a youth ministry of 150
people.
I had grown it from 7 to 150.
Wow.
So.
And was that a promise that was put on the table for you?
There was a dangled carrot for a while of like, you know, hey, do this and do this and do this.
Here's the pathway to employment.
But like that made me want it. Like I didn't graduate seminary and get a full-time job pastoring 30 kids and making, you know, 40 grand a year.
Freaking Kyle Kirshner.
Yeah.
I love you, Kyle. I don't know if you're going to listen to this, but.
But like.
You gladly accept it, though.
It didn't happen to me. You know, like, and
yeah, that's a rare case.
That's a rare, you know, I had
unless you're in Solana Beach.
It's true.
Yeah.
I had to work. At one time, I was working like five different jobs.
Five jobs?
Married,
man.
With a kid, going through Bible college.
Dang.
To make ministry work. And so from that, like, it had to be my passion.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, so it wasn't about the paycheck. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was about just a pure love and feeling called and all about it. And it was, granted, that's unhealthy, and I don't think that, like, those are like, good dues to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've paid other dues because
of that.
But you're
willing to endure the process is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, like, so many people want to know, okay, how do I make it in ministry?
Do you think that if we had clear pathways, clear processes, then we'd have more millennials able to sign up for the long haul? Because what I think
probably.
Is it's convoluted. It's not clear. And so I play inside of your ministry or inside of your ecosystem for 1 month, 4 months, 7 months. And I'm wondering, like, okay.
So this is, as far as I think clear pathways help. for sure, because mm-hmm. I want to know what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
And I want to know how to get there.
That was the big statement yesterday, was like, I'll be loyal if you tell me what that loyalty can be cashed out
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Right. That one day I'll be able to, or I'm headed in this direction. The thing, I think, again, the difference, though, is that with millennials is they want that purpose. They want to know what is this organization going for. And a lot of thing with boomer pastors is boomer pastors are building their kingdoms.
Hmm.
They're not necessarily building the kingdom.
Yeah.
They're trying to, like, they're holding
on
to
their
exit platform.
Strategy.
It's their exit strategy. It's their whole deal.
Yeah.
And so instead of including millennials and in a purpose, and this is our greater thing, they're using millennials.
Yeah, so inclusion versus using is a big tension, because
huge.
Part of we've been using this analogy, like, okay, so there are two things you can get. You can get an invitation to the table, right? You can be invited mm-hmm. to the table, but it's almost like a lot of our boomer senior pastors are inviting their emerging leaders to the table, but not
sure.
setting a plate for them.
Yeah.
So they're saying, watch us, watch the steak, smell the steak.
Sure.
Look at my shiny silverware. Check out how we organize the meal.
Yeah.
But you don't get to eat tonight.
Right.
And that is frustrating.
Or they're saying, hey, come eat. Okay, but now go away.
Oh, man. Come on, dude. That's even worse.
So they're like, here, let me, like, okay, yeah, eat. Does that taste good? That's good.
Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate all you. Okay. Now we know about, okay, see ya.
Yeah.
We'll call you back when we need you again.
Yeah, those are equally as deflating.
Oh, it's so, yeah, it can be incredibly deflating.
Yeah, and crushing. And it makes me, you know, I'm not surprised when I hear more and more cases of young individuals who tried to bring an idea or bring something original.
Yeah.
Or bring a new concept to their church at whatever level, right? They may not have to, like, earn a... You may not have to earn a seat at the senior pastor's office, but, you know, to the communications guy or to the college guy, he's like, hey, I want to do this. They go, sorry, there's just not space, or you don't really have access, or you don't really have permission to go there.
Right.
And they go two streets down, they rally in their friend's garage, and they start something. And then the church is like, how do we get you to do that here? It's like, we have to be more willing, I think, to create those... the space and the margins to let kids try stuff
mm-hmm.
and then appropriately allow it to grow or be managed, you know?
Exactly.
To me, that was the most valuable thing when I first started, was somebody was not telling me, here's the roster of things I need you to accomplish.
Right.
They said, here are your parameters. Mm-hmm. Here's the sandbox I'm going to give you access to, 24/7 key card.
Right.
I just want to be able to mentor your growth inside of your efforts.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's, if we can, again, looking even past millennials now to, what did you call them again?
Boomlets.
The boomlets. If we can look at the boomlets, and we can say, all right, let's take our knowledge, what we've learned, our dumb tax, you know, as Larry Osborne says, we've paid, and let's then take our resources and fund these entrepreneurial rock stars that are coming up, that understand how to make stuff happen, and we'll coach them and we'll shape them and we'll help them pay some dues, but we're going to be really hands-on with them, but at the same time not micromanage and really get behind them, because they are literally, they are the future of the church.
Yeah.
Let's do this and let's see if they can fly. Let's see if we can make this happen, as opposed to holding on to the kingdom, their kingdoms, again, helping these, I mean, I guess they're kids, but, you know, they're late teens, early 20s now, and giving them that space to make stuff happen.
I think that's best case scenario. Honestly, I spent some time with some young leaders who were asking me the question. I get dues. I get the need to pay dues. I have enough self-awareness to ask the question, do I want to spend the better part of the next X amount of months polishing brass on the Titanic?
Right.
And I was like, oh.
Right.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that about the church, but
right, for sure.
When they're looking at a local expression of a church and they can't see it in 5 years, that's enough discernment for me to respect the question.
Well, and that's where I'd say wax on, wax off.
Oh, come
Paint
on, dude.
Paint the fence, dude.
Yeah.
You know, because polishing that brass, maybe it's on the Titanic, but I don't think that they have that big of a vision then.
Yeah.
Because they're not seeing the full picture in what it can be.
Yeah.
You know, that if and I think self-awareness is such a big buzz right now that people think they have it and they don't. I mean, like, again, if you can't see the value in paying dues, if you can't see the greater, like, vision of where the church can go, then I think you're losing it.
Yeah, so if I'm going to, like, I want to ride that analogy like a horse, that wax on, wax off idea, you know,
Ralph Macchio, dude.
Ralph Karate Macchio. Kid. Thank you, Karate Kid.
Yeah. Danielson.
Danielson, he didn't get it.
No, he didn't.
But there was a relational equity between him and Mr. Miyagi that mattered. So despite the seemingly wasteful activity, one, it was relational equity, but with a big heaping spoonful of honor.
Honor's huge. And I think, again, I don't think the younger generation gets that quite
no,
as
but
much.
I don't even know, like, you but, know, but somebody tells me, hey, built. Honor me. And I'm like, why?
Exactly.
You know, so that
the
relationship
trust and the
has
relationship.
To come first.
Exactly. And I think, though, like, if from the older there is that investment in the younger, I think that shows kind of, that shows some trust, that shows some relationship.
Yeah, an investment is, let me create space. I built it. I bought it.
Yeah.
I'm going to finance it, and I'm going to create some space. This whole RV experiment is a perfect example of that.
Exactly.
I earned 0 shekels inside of 0 credit points inside of the Saddleback ecosystem. But David, in his time spent in the organization, said, I'm building trust, relational equity with this emerging leader.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this sandbox work. Mingo, you can play in here. When people come fight you, I'll deal with it.
Yep.
And in return, I'm living kind of on his investment, earning
Completely.
My own credit.
Yep.
Right?
But
it's
he cashed in chips for you.
He did. And so we have to be willing to look at, right, Jeff, what are the chips you have?
Yep.
Who are you cashing your chips in with?
Exactly.
You're going back to the bank, the brokers, your senior leaders, and going, I know I'm making a withdrawal. The ledger's looking different this month.
Yeah.
But here are the ponies I'm betting on.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, totally. Completely.
Yeah.
And it's that.
Come on in, dude. Jump in.
I think it's that. Give and that take.
Yeah.
But see, the difference is that you see what that guy did for you.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not going to mess this up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stoked on this. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
and I'm going to try to do the same for somebody else one day, where I think, like, we live more and more in an instant gratification society.
This is absolutely true. So what does instant gratification do to wreck that whole system?
So how it wrecks the system is young people, they live off of this need for likes and for, you know, like people will post on Instagram just to see that little ticker tape thing, like, roll down, like. I call it Instagramification. You know, like, and that's
P.S., where we just jumped. DJ just wandered into the RV right now.
What's up,
so
DJ?
DJ's on the live wire. Jeff, DJ, Saddleback campus pastor. Jeff Moore, young adult campus pastor, young adult pastor.
Young adult, venue pastor.
Everywhere,
or somewhere. Yeah.
Venue pastor, pastor.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I
Instagramification.
Instagramification. So they're so used to that instant gratification, which then makes them want that instant gratification when they're in their career and in their position. They're reaction based. Like, I just did this, so where's my raise? Or I just did this, where's my platform? I just did this, now I need, as opposed to, no, this is patience and this is the long game.
It's a long game.
And, like, yet you're 20, but, man, you're not even, like, done until you're in your late 60s now, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Take some time and like, allow that instant gratification not to happen, you know, because I remember when I was younger, I'd be like, every year, like, am I going to be full time now? Am I going to be, like,
totally.
Budget time? Does this happen?
Totally.
No. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep.
There's a resilience that you've got to have in you that I'm wondering, like, that resilience is a bone that's built nice and strong in a lot of disappointment.
Yeah.
That you have to go back, your self narrative, your community around you has to say, like, hey, the job didn't come this month, but what you're doing matters.
Exactly. What you're doing matters.
Yeah.
And if I know what I'm doing matters, then I can keep rolling.
Then I'll go one more month.
Then I'll go one more
then
month.
Then I'll go one more quarter, month.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah,
exactly.
That's so huge, dude. I just hope that, like, people who are ending up, like, listening in on this don't get lost in what they're hoping they get.
Right.
Realizing that they've been gifted to give.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
exactly.
I've been given a certain skill set by God to invest
yeah.
without the expectation that I'll be getting some sort of personal advancement when yeah. I operate inside of like that exchange, whatever that is. You
right,
know?
For sure.
And your story is clearly evident of laying your gifts in. I mean, when you say dues, I'm looking back at old YouTube videos of you
oh, yeah,
posting
dude.
Stuff
yeah, I mean,
with like no recognition, but just out, I'm going, this is what God gave me. Yep. These are like me applying my gifts, operating inside of my shape.
Yeah.
And on this side, certainly we've not yet made it to maybe
no.
the degree that we see other people or what we would think we could do with our lives. But that process,
right,
it matters.
And understanding we're in that process
yeah.
that God's not finished with. And ultimately, it's God who's going to open doors.
Totally.
It's God. And I think we can forget that too, that we get so into like, we're going to make our way, that we forget, no, the Lord does it. It's a proverb, but it's, you know, do you see those who are excellent in their work? They will not serve before obscure men. They'll serve before kings. And, I mean, if you're really that good, then your gift's going to make a way.
Yeah, that's solid. Dude, Jeff, thanks for the super impromptu conversation, bro.
Yeah,
I
totally,
slapped the
man.
Microphone in the middle. And Jeff started preaching, bro. And I was like, oh, I'll put a microphone on you, dude.
Yeah,
if you're listening to this, dude, thanks for listening in.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
PDcast representing Woo. In the billion ways. You're lucky you got on this conversation. We'll talk to you guys soon.